Do we have a quorum yet?
Yes, we do.
Very
I
good.
just see a couple of folks I'm not familiar with here. Joel Otterbacher.
This is Charlene. Joel is our intern, and I thought it would
Oh.
be some really good
Oh,
experience to
great.
get him in on some meetings to see how
Excellent.
we kind of operate at the at this level. So, Joel, if you want to say hi, feel free.
I'm Joel Otterbacher. Yeah, I'm the intern here at Dane County. Nice to meet you all.
Great. Welcome, Joel. Thanks. And then we've got, it looks like one member of the public, Derek Owen, joining us.
Hello.
And otherwise, I think we are good to go.
All right, so we can begin this meeting for the January 22nd, 2025 Technical Coordinating Committee. With that, we have the roll. Move on to approval of minutes. If I could get a motion from a member to approve the September, I believe, 25th, 2024 minutes, meeting minutes.
This is Judd from DeForest. I'll approve.
Thank you, Judd. Get a second.
I'll second that.
All right. Thank you, Sean. Any objections or suggested changes from anybody? You can interject now. If not, I'll assume that everybody is approving the minutes. I think that's how we've done it in the past. All right. Perfect. And we can move on to item number three is member reports. So this is a point in time when we can share upcoming projects or items that we're working on. We can have a volunteer to start off. Or if there's nothing to share, then we can move on as well.
Well, you had mentioned earlier, but I'll share with the whole group. I'm planning to retire here in spring, and I don't have a date, but target end of April-ish, just to let you all know. So there will be some staffing changes. We're planning to, my position right now is combined with director and engineer, and we're planning to split that. So there will be an actual director who actually directs, and an engineer who can actually engineer instead of pretending to do a little bit of both. So I think that'll be a really good change, but I'll try to get that director plugged in when I know who it is.
Well, congrats. I'll say it again, Sean, but
Yeah.
sounds like
What's
you were
that?
doing two jobs in one, then, if that's the case.
Well, that depends on the day and the view.
Yeah.
I'm
Much
both happy.
appreciated all of your time volunteering and helping with the committee here too. So
Yeah, that's the best part.
any other updates from the group? No, it's the beginning of the year, so everybody's kind of digging in, getting ready.
Yeah, I can share some stuff. This is Ross Kaler, transportation engineer with Fitchburg. We're kind of gearing up for this year's construction projects. We've got two big ones, Fitchrona Road and South Syene Road. And we've got HISSET money for part of the Syene Road project. So that'll be a big big intersection reconstruction, complete reconfiguration there. And then also on Fitchrona and Lacey, adding a roundabout to where we currently have a T intersection. So, two big intersection projects. And then also some smaller intersection and roundabout stuff. We're trying out some temporary, kind of experimental infrastructure, some of our intersections, kind of seeing how those go for 3 or 6 months, depending. And then making decisions on whether to keep it. Replace it with concrete, do something different. So hopeful that some of that stuff proves useful and we can kind of continue on with that program. So something new for the city.
Thank you, Ross. Any other updates from the group? Hearing none, I think that we can probably close this section of the agenda. Moving on to the meat of the agenda then. The review and recommendation of the draft technical coordinating committee operating rules and procedures.
All right.
This is okay. Bill's going to present.
Yeah, I'm going to take this away. Thank you very much, Brad. I'm going to share my screen here. Let's see. All right. Are you guys seeing the regular presentation screen?
We can see our notes, or at least.
All right. I'm going to flip this around. There we go. So now it should be.
There you go. It's good.
Okay, great. So since Bill Schaefer had put these rules together several years back, and following his departure, and then we were, of course, without the MPO director for a while, and then Alex joined, and we've had a lot of churn. And as we've sort of gotten our arms around the rules that are governing the TCC, we found that there were some issues that were creating confusion here. And when we reviewed those rules in more depth, we found that they were a little too prescriptive in some ways, too detailed, sort of creating kind of hindering communities from choosing who they want to represent them and so forth. A little too vague in others, where it didn't really say how to do some of the changes that were required. At the root of a lot of these issues is the transition between alternate and voting member status for members of the representatives of the smaller communities outside Madison. This also led to some cumbersome voting procedures. We had conflicting definitions of alternate, which added to confusion, and then the long-term or standing substitutes sort of also is a little bit of an issue, and we'll discuss each of these in turn. So we found that the rules were too prescriptive in that they stated the exact titles of positions. And this is a problem because communities change titles often. People who've been on our committee have had their titles change. And then this raises issues of, are they eligible to participate? Also, we've got eligible staff that really can never participate on the TCC. Some of the folks that are identified have never come to a TCC meeting for whatever reason, often maybe too busy, they've got other things. And we thought it would be helpful if communities could choose their own representatives. The other issue we have here with this is that it lists almost all of our cities and villages in the MPO area, but then leaves a few out, and seems like the best course of action would be to open the doors wide, and if communities want to appoint someone, then they can. We've found some of the rules are too vague. It requires that alternate numbers should be rotated over time, doesn't provide any rule of how that's supposed to go. It also says only voting members or alternates transitioning to voting members should only happen if they are regular meeting participants. But again, that's not defined, which makes it hard to deal with. We've got this, as I mentioned, this switch between alternate and voting member status. It, I think, indicates to folks who are identified as an alternate that their presence isn't as important. And I think this lessens people's investment in the TCC, and it conflicts with our vision for the TCC as a place for dialogue and informal connections among committee members and communities. The alternate member voting rules are pretty cumbersome and complex. Almost all of our votes on this committee are unanimous, but with this system, when people arrive late or leave early, it would require more sort of tracking of exactly who's there, which alternate member is voting, who's left, who's arrived, and it seems unnecessarily complex. The rules use conflicting definitions of alternate. So this is another thing that is very confusing, where it has the alternate member status as opposed to voting members, which rotate annually. But then it also uses the term alternate to refer to substitute members. And this, I think, just muddies the water and makes it hard to understand what the roles are for everybody, who's a substitute, who's an actual member, and it's just unnecessarily complex there. Long-term substitutes, I think we would like to see people who come to these TCC meetings as legitimate voting members. And our current system, some people have been substitutes for so long with the actual member never arriving that it seems doesn't seem right to be referring to people as substitutes when they're coming meeting after meeting, year after year, and participating in the TCC. So we'd like to I think it would make it a lot clearer to get rid of substitute status and make people who come legitimate members.
Hey, Bill, interrupt you just a moment?
Sure.
I believe there's a member who needs to be admitted into.
Oh, yes.
You can make me a co-host so I can keep track of that stuff. Yes, I will.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There we go. Oh, yeah. And here's Todd. I see him. So our proposed changes would clarify that facilitating a dialogue among members is an objective of the TCC. We would emphasize the importance of regular attendance at TCC meetings, remove references to specific staff titles eligible to serve on the committee, reduce the term of the chair and the vice chair from 2 years to one, just to make it easier to get on just a regular schedule, prohibit the participation of standing substitutes for TCC members, eliminate the annual transition between voting and alternate member status, and allow all cities and villages in the MPO planning area outside of Madison to appoint one representative to the TCC. Brad, I see you've got your hand raised.
Yeah, just a quick question. Instead of completely removing the specific staff titles eligible to serve on the TCC, is there a way that you could instead just add as designated by either the public works director or community planner or what have you?
So our vision is basically to do that. We would leave it up to each community and say that it would need to be somebody who is a staff member familiar with transportation, public works, and or engineering. And then each community could figure out who they want to send to this committee. I think you're right. Probably it would normally be probably a director of engineering or public works that would choose a staff planning that would choose somebody to attend. But it seemed like it'd be easiest for us to sort of step away from that.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to go through a little bit more on these. So So we'd want to clarify that facilitating dialogue among TCC members is a goal. So we would make a little adjustment to subsection one to indicate that. And we'd make a couple of changes to subsections two and three to emphasize the importance of regular attendance at TCC meetings. Of course, people can miss a meeting, but we just want to have the expectation clear that people are going to try to come. You can have a substitute if you need to for a meeting here and there, but if someone's going to be missing frequently, then we would prefer that they identify that community select a different representative. We remove the references to specific staff titles, and we would be focusing, as I mentioned a minute ago in response to Brad's question, the idea is to have people with these skills, and we would leave it to each community to decide who in their community among the staff would be the best representative. Now, the city of Madison, because it's larger and it has these internal agencies of engineering, traffic engineering, planning, and Metro Transit, we would have each of those pick a representative. Similarly, Dane County would have the representative from planning and development and highway and transportation. But for most of the smaller communities, it would just be one representative. We'd reduce the term of the chair and the vice chair, make those elections annual just to simplify things. We would, as I mentioned, prohibit the standing substitutes for TCC members, and this would just clarify that. Eliminating the annual transition between voting and alternate member status. And this, I think, this has been the source of a lot of confusion, so removing this would be very helpful, I think. And then opening it up to all cities and villages in the MPO area. One thing that we had, that it seemed like one of the reasons for the current setup of the TCC was to make it easier to achieve quorum. And I think it's important to keep that in mind, but we would want to just emphasize to all of these cities and villages in the MPO area that they're certainly welcome to attend any of these meetings that they want. But if they're going to appoint a representative, that they should make sure that that's somebody who's going to be able to attend the meetings. And hopefully we won't have a quorum issue due to that. And so that's pretty much what we got here, but I'd be happy to answer any questions if anybody has any.
Have we ever looked at a different time of day for the meetings?
Not recently, but I'd be interested to hear what people think about that.
I start at 6 in the morning. This is Lee from the Village of McFarland. Mm-hmm. I start at 6 in the morning most days, and I try to end my day by 3:30, but there's always meetings at night and stuff. But I would be interested in an earlier time of day.
Okay.
I don't know if others have that same interest, but it's my opinion.
Okay, great. Thanks, Lee.
But when you say earlier in the day, do you mean like maybe just 1 o'clock, just bumping it up a little bit?
Yeah, after lunch would be good for me. Mm-hmm. I would do mornings. I would do early afternoons. It just the 4 o'clock hour gets, you know, and I know people that would sub for me have children to get to, right, and that type of thing too.
Right.
Well, another issue, but we can't guarantee it, is ideally the meetings wouldn't be 2 hours long. and I know that had been the case more so in the past. But it's good to know. Thanks.
All right.
Oh, it looks like Sean's got it.
Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
I was just going to
ask, so beyond just encouraging people who designate a representative to come, should we include a mechanism that says, if you miss three consecutive meetings, we need to revisit that? And you're either going to have somebody or not have somebody, but that might be one mechanism where it's just upfront and it's clear to say, this isn't working for you.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Sean. But Bill and I were discussing. I think it's easy enough. We are kind of on our own. Take note if there's one particular person who can't make it. I'm guessing. If you just, I know when I read these over and over and found the complexity just kind of awe-inspiring, quite honestly. But I think a lot of the problem is going to be resolved with the title. This particular person has to be here, because many of those people are people who, trust me, do not have the time. It's a big ask. And I would say, Todd's here today, but the director of a department, or the director of the planning department, or the lead engineer for the city, whatever, if it always has to be that person, that's really difficult. And if that person has the opportunity to identify someone who's really interested and would like to do it and has more capacity, I think so a lot of it will be resolved, but only time will tell. So I think that's a good add to sort of let people know up front what exactly that expectation means as far as trying to make it to meetings. So appreciate that.
We've got a hand from Dane County Highways. I'm sorry, I'm not sure on that name there.
Oh, you're muted. There you go. Oh.
Charlene.
Yes, sorry. I
Oh,
didn't
no
check
problem.
my webcam before I started, but it's a little high. I'm going to do this. For Dane County Highway, I probably likely be the designee, but we run everything by the commissioner. So in terms of voting items, I'm assuming we're going to get some pre-warn for things that will be voted on so that I have time to run that by the commissioner, correct?
As far as the agenda's going out, they should be out a week prior, just a
Okay.
little short of a week. Yeah.
I just want to make sure that wasn't changing. Okay,
No, yeah, that's the
perfect.
plan. Yep.
Ross, did you have a your hand was up earlier, but
I was just gonna echo that I staff, my video is not turning on, but I staff a couple of city commissions, and we kind of do the same tracking kind of thing where if somebody doesn't show up for 3 or 4 meetings in a row, then whoever staffs that commission says to the clerk, hey, I think we're down a person on this committee. And that seems to work pretty well. It's only happened a couple of times, once actually, that I know of.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that makes sense to me.
All right. Any other questions or suggestions for this item?
Looks like Todd's got his hand up.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Thanks, Brad. This is Todd Violante with Dane County Planning. I think I did arrive a little bit late. I got here. I think so. I came in a little bit late on the presentation, but everything I saw makes complete sense. And I think it would be good to have incentive for people to attend. I know sometimes it can be a challenge for me, but I think having just that added incentive, that added push to make sure we're here makes very good sense. Having the consistency over time of attending and following the issues, it just adds a depth to understanding and of the issues. So I would support that myself, and everything that I saw so far that Bill laid out made sense to me, and I certainly would support it.
Okay. Thank you, Todd.
Thanks.
Oh, and to Lee's question too, I 1 o'clock, anytime that you said, it sounds good. But I understand where Lee's coming from too, and would support 1 o'clock if that was the way the group went.
Yeah.
Those public works people, they get to work early. I'd agree with that too. If we need to move it up, even if we did it in the morning, like 10 or 11, something like that would work for me as well. I don't know about anybody else, but
I never
So,
know what's going on in the morning. So for me, it's afternoon,
yeah.
is just by far easier to schedule around. And then just tell people, don't bug me on this Wednesday.
So it sounds like moving it up just, a half an hour to an hour would probably work well, generally speaking.
Sounds like it.
Right.
All right. So you, Bill and Alexandra, it's based on the way that the agenda was written for this item. Are we looking for a motion to recommend to the MPO policy board the changes?
Yes, yes, I believe so. And if we want to include some additional language on if the folks that miss what three consecutive meetings would be notified, and then maybe if they miss a fourth,
They need to designate a new person. Yeah.
Assumed off unless they designate a new person or something.
And then a change to sounds like 1 o'clock. You could keep the day, the same Wednesday of the month, but move it from 2 to 1. Does that sound good?
I think that was the general consensus of the group. Yep.
Yeah.
Now, for clarification sake on the notification item, I assume that the MPO would be the
We'll be tracking.
will
Yeah.
be tracking that and notifying. Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. And we will, if this, assuming the policy board approves this change, then we would reach out to communities about who the representative is going to be. Of course, you guys would be on those emails, but we would email also. Maple Bluff, Sherwood Hills, Mount Horeb, who's newly into our planning area, and Cross Plains as well.
Okay.
Yeah, if you look right now on our website, you'll see the list of, there's a drop down thing where you can choose and look at the members of the TCC, and then that will be changed to reflect what we learn when we reach out.
Sounds good. So at this point, then I think that we would entertain a motion to approve the changes to the policies and procedures.
So moved.
Thank you, Judd. And then a second.
I'll second that too.
All right. Thank you, Sean. Any other objections or suggested changes to discuss at this point? Otherwise, we'll take it as approved. So then that'll go to the policy board on what date is their next meeting then? Is
I'm sorry, February 5th.
fifth.
I talked while I
Okay.
was muted.
All right. So on the February 5th meeting of the MPO policy board, they will be entertaining that. So, all right. Moving on. So the next item up on the agenda is the Safe Streets for All. This looks like it's a grant update by the MPO.
Yeah, that it will be me. I'm just going to give a very brief update. So, as you are all probably aware, we were successful in being with our grant application. It was a regional application, which is relatively unique for the program. We're very happy that we got approved, we got funded. But there are some steps here coming down to the close of the year that to get our grant agreement signed and all of that stuff related to it is still a little bit in process. But is a bit of a refresher. It's made up of five community plans. And then those plans will sort of be reintegrated and adopted as part of our regional safety plan that it was adopted earlier. So the communities are the Village of Cottage Grove, and they're doing an active transportation plan. The City of Verona is doing a safe routes to school plan. The City of Fitchburg is doing a comprehensive safety action plan. The Village of Sherwood Hills is also doing a safety action plan. And Dane County is doing the County Highway Comprehensive Safety Action Plan. So in their planning effort, they're basically going to be doing very similar to what we did for within the MPO planning area for just that area outside of it out to the Dane County jurisdictional boundary. So sort of the donut, if you will. So that'll be really great to have that all integrated, and then that will open up Dane County Highways to potential future funding opportunities to address some of the rural safety needs. So the other things I can, Ross, you had a question.
I know some of the emails said, I think $1 million in funding. Yes. Is that the full amount that was applied
for? The full amount is actually $1,250,000. Because it's a 80-20 grant. So each community had to provide a 20% match. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so as far as our role, which is because we are contained, you know, the city of Madison is our fiscal agent. Our role is really grant administration. You know, we had the MPO put funding towards the Regional Safety Action Plan and then reserve some of that funding to spend on putting together this grant application. And it was well received as a regional effort, but really it gives that each community the independence to choose what planning they want to do, choose the consultant they want to work with or not, if they want to do it in-house. And our primary role is to sort of take advantage of the benefits of having, you know, a finance department and our staff to help, you know, see that grant administration piece through. And I think that that's a strength of it and that each community doesn't have to deal with that independently. Although now that we're kind of embarking on the other side, there's some complexity to work out that we are going to be doing. We're going to have a kickoff meeting next week in which we sort of describe some of those things to our participating communities. And there's still a lot we don't know exactly, but communities can feel free to, and I know many of them already are, sort of putting together what they want to see in their planning effort, taking a look at developing RFPs, things of that nature. And in addition to our grant administration assistance that we'll obviously be doing, we're here to provide resources for these communities. There's a lot of data mapping things that we maintain here at the MPO that these communities can, you know, make sure that even, whether they do it on their own or work with a consultant, they take advantage of those resources that we already have. And in addition to that, sort of as part of our effort, we will provide sort of, we're going to convene meetings to give communities an opportunity to sort of compare notes, help each other out, and just sort of generally be a resource. So that's really all I have to report at this time. One thing I can say is although the grant agreement was developed with FHWA, I worked on that up to the bitter end, and it went from our FHWA office here up to USDOT for their final approval and signature, and I've not yet gotten that back. I've been assured that I don't need to worry, but of course I'm a little bit worried. But that stuff is still coming, and that's stuff that we are dealing with here at the MPO. But we are definitely looking forward to getting these projects launched and having a lot of, you know, really great stuff going on countywide. So that's what I have to share on that. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Alexandra. I have a question. What's the sunset date on the funding? So when do the projects need to be submitted?
Well, the total sunset date, it's a little, the goal is 2 years to do the project, but the total sunset from, I just reread the federal agreement. In fact, today, I believe it's 5 years that you could actually get all of your reimbursements, because this is a reimbursement grant. Communities are going to be in a position where they need to start working and spending the money. And you can get reimbursed up to as frequently as every month, but realistically it's going to be quarterly because we are playing this sort of in between role of, you know, being that conduit of getting the federal money back to the communities.
Okay. So in terms of process, the communities would spend the funds mm-hmm. and then report said spending to the MPO who would submit
for yes. Yeah, so
okay.
Yeah. So from the perspective of the USDOT, this is a grant, just the MPO. And they understand that our role in it is working with the communities. So we have to submit quarterly reports. City of Madison Finance Department has their specific software that they want you to use, which they're adept at using. So 10 days prior to when that quarterly report is due, we'll say to the communities, your reports are due. But from your perspective, that's the ugly inner workings on our part. But for you guys, yeah, you submit that report and then you get reimbursed.
Okay. Sounds like it's going paperwork. To be interesting.
But all, I mean, you know, it's great to get grant funding. It's a good thing. You can do things you wouldn't do otherwise, but there are things you have to do in order
yes,
to get it.
That is for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other questions on the Safe Streets for All grant update? All right. Moving on then. The next item on the agenda is additional STBG and TAP funding. This sounds hopefully like a good thing.
This is a really good thing. But like many great things, or like many good things that we hear, there's this, ooh, you know, hurry up, there's this extra money, we need to spend it, but we can't tell you anything about it yet. So that's kind of the little vortex we're in at the moment. But the overall thing is that there is a source of money that was left unspent, and that was the Water Resources Development Act, which apparently, you know, found itself with $1.8 billion of unspent funds. That's been transferred over to the SDBG program for, you know, nationwide. So the challenge now, as was a little bit of the challenge with other big increases in funding, is that goes through the DOT, and then the DOT has to have the capacity to quickly turn on and figure out how to distribute this money. So our guess, this is just a big guesstimation, not from information from DOT, but just our own staff guessing based on history and this sum of money, that this could mean almost like $1 million in extra TAP funding being available to our area, compared to, you know, $150,000, which is what we're accustomed to. And then also more money for SDBGU as well. What we can't tell you is the amount. When exactly you would have to spend that money? These are the questions we've asked, and DOT is working on providing those answers. So the only message I can share is this is a good thing. So think of projects just like we find ourselves with the redistribution money, you know, at the end of the year. The more ready projects are, have some things in mind, maybe that, you know, that could fit into either of these programs. This would be an opportunity. So the more ready those can be, we're assuming that we can make this part of our 2020, you know, our next solicitation in the spring. Sometimes DOT asks us to do separate additional solicitations just to move the money at the speed that they need to move it. But there's just a lot of unknown pieces. So from my message is to just be ready. That's really, you know, all I can state. I think in some cases, I think we have had communities where you're trying to do something, especially with TAP, and then you run into details dealing with a landowner in which you need to get an easement, or especially anything involving the railroads, you need to negotiate something. You know, those are the sorts of things that this gives an opportunity. If something didn't come through before, maybe you can take another crack at it, or maybe start working through some of those things that you can imagine being sticking points, so that you can feel ready to take advantage of this. And so for Dane County, you know, I know their Dane County Parks isn't here, but I know we've had, you know, that the TAP funding specifically, not so much SDVGU, but can offer opportunities for parks as well because of the trail network. So, I mean, yeah, so it's good news without many details. We will keep you posted there. Watch your inbox.
Right. So, just a general question. Is it possible that the MPO could just spread the money around on projects that have already been approved in the TIP?
We don't
And
know that yet. I think we did
okay.
ask that, you know. But we do have some guiding rules within our TIP about, you know, percent, you know, what's the maximum percentage of the cost that we can cover in different circumstances. So we do have some limiting factors in it, but that could be a decision potentially that we don't know yet, but that we've done that in the past with extra money and take that to the board where we just come up with, here's our suggestion, you know, to just redistribute to some of these things in our out to 2029, you know, future years. But yeah, we just don't know enough at this point.
Okay. All right. So possible.
Tell you more, but it's still worth telling you to be on the ready.
Right.
And when you think about redistribution money, I think I'd add, and Ben Lyman actually brought this up, which is a good thing to add, is you know, the last time the state found itself with unspent money, they spent most of that on state projects that were sitting there on the ready. They've spent it all on those projects. So now, if there's redistribution funds, which I can't guarantee there will be any, but if there were, it's more likely that that money could go to local community projects because those state projects have already, that backlog of state projects has already been funded. So that's another thing to sort of keep in your mind.
Well, considering the amount of communities that went to referendum last year, I think that that is good news. So,
Yes.
any other questions for Alexandra on that? All right. Hearing none, we can move on. Looks like MPO staff reports is the next item on the agenda. And a new hire.
Yeah, I guess my key staff report would just be to introduce our new hire, which I guess they kind of blend into each other. Because one of the big staff reports, of course, was sharing what we just learned about that potential funding. But Prasad has joined us here today. He's going to play a critical role in the Safe Streets for All effort, grant effort, and also sort of taking on some of that safety work that Colleen Mostly had done, as well as assisting with transit planning, which is really an area of his expertise. So I will let Prasad introduce himself.
Hi everyone, my name is Prasad Pakirisamy, pronounce he, him. I joined the MPO on December 9th. It's one month, more than a month now. And I've come in place of, as it was already mentioned, come in place of Colleen. We'll be working on the SS4A and ATP and help supporting Ben with the transit work. And I'm still learning a lot of new things and I had previously done my bachelor's and master's in urban planning. I recently graduated from UIUC in master's in urban planning. So it'll be super fun to work with all of you and reach out to all of you and work with you and yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Prasad.
Yeah, welcome. All right. Well, that brings us pretty much to the end of our agenda today. Is there anything else left here? Let's see. Oh yeah. So our next scheduled meeting is Wednesday, February 26th. It sounds like we would be putting in place the adjusted time for the start of that
We do
meeting.
that.
Okay. So those that invite will get revised. Did we get already get the invites for the rest of the year?
We got the invites for about half of the year, but we'll be revising those accordingly.
Okay, good deal. So everybody watch your email for for those. Other than that, I only had one other item that I wanted to ask about, and that would be for the group, and then as a reminder for anybody that has been here, and just an update for those who have not in the past, in terms of agenda topics, Alexandra and Bill, I assume that you guys pretty much put together the packet on almost all occasions, but I'm sure, as in the past, you've been open to suggested items for the agenda. So for members, if you come across something that you'd like to know more about or have questions on, or otherwise, if you wanted to present on a topic, please make sure that you're reaching out to Alexandra and Bill on that. So I'm sure that the rest of the group would like to hear people's, you know, the our colleagues' war stories and stuff like that, and projects, successes, and otherwise. So I had brought up in the August meeting of last year, or July, one of the two, about the hoops to jump through for the CRP funding program. That would be something that we could revisit in the future. I think that everybody, or a lot of you, have gone through that process and maybe are going to do it again. So that might be a nice little recap for everybody. But yeah. Otherwise, yeah, please reach out to Alexandra and Bill on potential agenda topics.
Yeah, that's a great ad. Thanks, Brad.
And other than that, we would take a motion for adjournment at this point.
I'll move that then. I was going to second it, but I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
All right. Thank you, Sean and Judd. All right. We will see you in February then, everybody.
Well, and thank you, Brad. Outstanding work. No notes.
Thank you. Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, well, Brad. Thank you. See you guys.
Thanks all.
Thank you.